What is your calling? What has God called you to? Well, I don't even know what he's called me to. Then you just need to step into his presence. Father, show me. I'm stepping into your anointing right now. Just show me. If you open yourself to it, Mike, where are you at? Mike came up to me just a moment ago and he gave me a word from the Lord. He said he sees the Lord, and I this is so good. This is so true. He sees the Lord, just this outpouring is a purging. It's like forcing all the impurities out. It's like as we allow the outpouring of God's presence to flow through us, it's not just flowing in us, it's flowing through us. And it's purging out all of the impurities, all the lies, all the doubts, all the fears. All of that is being purged out of us. Jesus said this, man, I might even preach right now. I know it's Ethan's turn today, but I'm getting a little greedy right now. Jesus said this. Jesus said, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And a lot of people have trouble with that scripture. Because in the church, we've got this church culture. This church culture that we've stepped into. A church culture is a mixture of the world culture and the kingdom of heaven culture. And how many of you know that won't work? You can't combine the two. It's either kingdom of heaven or it's the kingdom of the world. And if you try to combine them, you get this church culture that we've had in the church for hundreds of years. And it needs to go. Because this church culture will believe lies and even start repeating these lies. Well, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. No, how many of you said it? Come on, tell on yourself. Tell on yourself or somebody else will. You said it. No, that's a lie. See, if we believe that lie, then we will continue to live mediocre lives. If we believe that lie, we continue to live lukewarm lives. I'm preaching your message right now. If we believe that lie, well, then we just walk around. Well, nobody's perfect. I'm just going to make mistakes. I'm just going to do it. That's just what I do because I'm human and I'm only human. I'm only human. That's another lie. You are not only human. Because you laid down your life. The old man is dead and you have risen to new life in Christ Jesus. If Jesus lives inside of you, you are not only human any longer. The moment he came in, you became superhuman. You became supernatural. So you can't walk around and repeat the lie that the enemy's saying to you, well, I'm only human. Nobody's perfect. Because if you keep saying that, then you have trouble with the scripture where Jesus said, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And if you believe the lie long enough, you'll start to try to, oh yeah, I know that scripture's in there, but perfect didn't mean perfect. The quanta didn't mean perfect. That's the Greek word for almost perfect. No, he meant perfect. Is your Father perfect? Is your Heavenly Father perfect? Because so Jesus meant perfect. So how do we do that? We step into him. We allow him to flow through us. We allow the Spirit of God to flow through us. We allow the anointing to come upon us in whatever we're doing. We're playing the drums. Bro, you're anointed for that. You're anointed to sing too. You got multiple anointings, but you're like divergent. That's good. I'm going to use that. But step into it, right? Quit looking at other people's anointings and being envious of what God has given them. He gave you the same anointing. You just need to step into your calling. And quit trying to force yourself into what you haven't been called to. See, I'm in my anointing right now. I'm in my anointing and I'm feeling it right now. Feeling it. I think I could just walk right on air right now if I stepped off the stage. See, You're only limited by your own imagination. Hello? Some of y'all, this is just right there. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm gonna keep preaching this, okay? Go ahead, sit down. You can sit down. Some of you are afraid to. You can sit down. Don't be afraid to sit down. We're not religious around here. God doesn't stop moving because you sit down. He's just as powerful when you're standing as he is as when you're sitting down or lying down. It doesn't matter what position you're in. I could just keep doing this word right here like this. I could lay down face down like this, and I can just keep talking, and God's just as powerful right here as he is when I'm standing up. See, you need to let those religious mindsets being broken off of you. I think this is funny because sometimes I'm down here. I'm going to jump down. I know it's going to mess up cameras, but I don't care. Sometimes I'm down here and I'm worshiping, and I just want to turn around and I want to see your faces. I just want to look at you and watch you worship. Listen, we continually fight this. It's something we need to break. But this religious spirit that just wants to grab hold of us, you know, come on, y'all. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because that's kind of weird, right? Because what are they going to think? Especially for me as the pastor, oh, they probably think I'm evaluating them. Well, they're not worshiping. I don't see a smile on their face. Check. Oh, his hands aren't raised. Check. He's not going to be an usher next week. Check. But that's what's going on. I did this a couple years ago. You remember this? A couple years ago I did this. I said, why can't we just all just, while we're worshiping, why can't we just all turn in all different directions? Sister, come here. I mean, like, I know it'd be a little weird if I'm just like, you're worshiping, I'm worshiping, and we're like this right here, face to face. Come on, lift up your hands. And we're just praising God. But there's something powerful when you see your brother and sister eye to eye worshiping the Lord. Right? Like, I feel it right now. Do you feel what I'm talking about? There's something powerful about that. Because it goes beyond me looking at you in, through human eyes, and I'm looking at you through godly eyes. I'm looking at you through spiritual eyes, and I'm seeing what he's seeing. I see anointing. I see the glory of God. Like, you're never more pure and in his anointing than when you're worshiping him. Right? You feel right then, don't you? Go ahead, sweetie. You can sit down. But think about this. Then we leave this place. Then we leave this place, and we don't take it with us. We feel like we step into a different universe when we come in here. But that's not what this is about. This is about carrying this presence with us everywhere we go. Everywhere. Ethan, preach with me. Get up. Get up. Preach with me. Come on. I'm talking about traveling.
Yeah.
I'm talking about traveling. This is Ethan. This is Ethan's Sunday. And he's talking about traveling here, so tell him about it.
I liked what you were saying. I was like, I can take you're in. Come on. Man, I think this is so good. I was talking to my grandfather after service and first service, and he was talking about, for years, as church culture, which is really what you're talking about, we've gone from encounter, revival, encounter, revival, encounter, revival, and we ride off of these waves. Because we think, oh, it's here for a moment, but then it's gone. It's here for a moment. And what God wants is not for an encounter to happen. He brings the encounter to let you know that there's about to be a habitation.
Come on.
That's why he brings the first encounter, is that it's not meant just to be a, hey, I tickled you a little bit, made you laugh, made you feel good. I'm never going to do that again. And that's the problem with our culture, is actually, how many are 75 years old or older here? Come on. My grandpa was. If you believe in the habitation, yes, thank you. If you believe in the habitation of his presence, if you believe that he has inhabited you, then it's your job to pass the baton, not to say, oh, we had an encounter in the good old days.
Come on.
We had an encounter or revival in the good old days. It's not your job to talk about the good old days. It's about passing on the good old days. It's about passing on the encounter, the revival that's happening. And believer, we're walking to, as a church, a culture of not just, oh, well, this happened to this generation, this happened to this generation, but it's actually we are all one, and from generation to generation, every single kid that's in River Kids right now, we're going to be handing on the baton to. Come on.
You know, talking about the outpouring and the purging, there is no inlet valve, okay? Like over you. There's not. If the anointing, if the purging and the anointing and the flowing of his presence is shut off, it's because you shut it off.
Yep.
God doesn't stop. I love this because for years I've had this dislike. Again, this is about the church culture. This dislike for some of our Christianese language. Some of our Christianese language is like we're going to have revival. And what that meant, if you've been in church long enough, you know what that meant. We got a special speaker coming in, and he's going to speak for a week long, and we'll have revival for that week. But when he leaves, revival's over.
I didn't
you know what? You know that's what it meant. You know that's exactly what it meant. I mean, nobody would actually say that because they'd be like, no, the presence of God's going to keep going. But you know that's what happened. We'd have a week long of services, and everybody's on this spiritual high. Woo, everything's good. And then after the week long was over, it just kind of go like this. And about a month later, we're back to where we were. Which, you know it. If you've been in church long enough, you know that's what it was like.
Yep.
And when somebody said we're going to have revival, I'm like, I don't want that. Because it's always going to be a letdown. That's not what revival is. That's just a week long of special services. Revival is God pouring out his spirit into you and you receiving it and allowing that inlet to continue to flow. Now, here's the thing about it. You got to have an outlet. You can't just receive it all and not give it away. You got to let it flow out of you. If you don't let it flow out of you, you just become as dead as the Dead Sea. So you receive it and you let the outpouring flow into you, but then you got to get out there and let it flow out of you in this blue water area or wherever you go. Like Ethan, talk about traveling, man. You got to travel with this, with the yeah. presence of God. Jesus. No, I messed you up. I totally messed you up, didn't I?
I'm trying to like tell if I can even hear myself. It's good. I think, man, this is good. I know we're talking about traveling, but I feel like it's more about where your heart is. I think it's more about it's like what you were talking about. I thought that was so good. Like when you're worshiping, you feel so alive because that it's overflowing, right? You feel alive when you're overflowing. Like when you have your kids and you're playing with your kids and you're just like, ah, I love you, and you're just playing with them, you feel alive. Why? Because love is pouring out. There's actually studies that find that if you find yourself not being able to be in touch with your emotions and stuff, it's because you actually shut down one of your emotions. It means that like if you have the inability to love people, it's because more than likely you like to consume love, but you can't give it. But it actually works the opposite way, where it actually kind of becomes like a cancer, where if you try to only consume love but not give it, it actually starts to turn off your ability to actually be able to obtain and receive love. And I believe that in the church, we're meant to walk this thing out. Right, to travel. Jesus said that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because the old temple didn't have legs. The old temple didn't have the ability to walk and move and talk and speak and touch lives and be Christ in bodily form. And too often, you know, I got the bottled water because too often in Christianity, we're like bottled water, where we walk into an environment trying to be the temple of the Holy Spirit or whatever, and then we allow the entire environment around us to make us room temperature water. And Jesus, in Revelation, when he's speaking to his church, he says, I would rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. It's because something lukewarm is being influenced by the environment around it. And as a Christian, you were never meant to be influenced by the environment around you. You were meant to infect the environment around you with the glory of God. That's what expanding the kingdom is all about. It's about letting it move through. But when you don't let it move through, you wonder why you see so many Christians that are miserable. Why are they miserable? Because it's not real. Like, a version of Christianity where I only take in is not real. That's called selfishness. That's what it is. Like, if Jesus was like, God, thank you. Thank you, Father. I'm so glad to be with you today. Yeah, I'm just going to be with you today. I'm not going to heal anybody. That you would be like, you're selfish. Like, you have the ability to heal this leopard. Why are you not healing this leopard? You have the ability to take this guy off of his mat. He's been paralyzed for forever. Why aren't you doing that? Oh, well, I want to just be with my Father on Sundays. You'd be like, you're a selfish jerk. And I think the whole world is saying, when is the sons and daughters of God going to wake up? Like, why are they so selfish? It's because we need to be giving our love. We need to be giving of ourselves. He says, I'd rather that you give rather than receive. I slaughtered that. But you know what I meant.
Yeah, well, let me just jump in here. Tag me.
Yeah.
All right. I love when you said in the first service, I love when you said, you're talking about Luke being lukewarm. And he was talking about water. He had this water, and he said, again, like he said, things become lukewarm. They become a certain temperature because they adapt to the environment around them. They allow the environment around them to influence them, to change their temperature, to bring them to that temperature. And for far too long, that's what the sons and daughters of God have been doing. We've been walking into our environments and allowing our environments to influence us and to change us to that temperature instead of us changing our environments and bringing them to God's temperature.
Yeah.
There's a God temperature inside of you. This is what we're talking about. There's an anointing that God has given each one of us. And we have to walk in that anointing everywhere we go. And we have to change the temperature of the room around us to the atmosphere that's inside of us. Whatever is around us has to become the atmosphere inside of us. And we have the ability to do that. Not in a forceful way, but God's a good God, right? In a good, loving way. Think about it this way. Because Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, right? You're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it loses its saltiness? It's no longer good for anything but be thrown out and trampled by men. Have you ever cooked a meal? And you're like, you got it fresh out of the oven and you're serving it up. And you put it on the plate and you're like, come on and get it while it's hot. You know what I'm talking about? Get it while it's hot. There's a saying, get it while it's hot. You know what the saying's about? If you don't eat it while it's hot, it'll get lukewarm, and it doesn't taste the same when it's lukewarm as it does when it's hot.
Yep.
And I was a chef for many years, and being a chef, I can tell you that things do not taste the same lukewarm as they do hot if they're meant to be hot, or lukewarm if they're meant to be cold. Right? Bruce, come on, you can testify. Another chef up here. Listen, you got to eat it while it's hot. If you don't eat it while it's hot and it's lukewarm, you kind of spit it out. Ooh, that's nasty. It tasted amazing when it was hot, but when it became lukewarm, it wasn't so good. I know some of you are thinking fried chicken and pizza. Those can both be good, cold, or lukewarm, but right? I know some. We're thinking some of those things, but
lunch meat. Lunch meat lukewarm?
Exactly.
No bueno.
Yeah, there you go. Bologna, lukewarm bologna. No, you either fry that bologna or you get it fresh out of the fridge, right? This is good tag
That'll
team
preach.
Preaching.
That'll preach.
So you got to get it while it's hot. And as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we've been given a temperature from Him, an anointing from Him, to carry into the environment, into our atmospheres, and change and shift the atmospheres to bring them up to the temperature that's inside of us.
My turn.
Go.
My turn. In first service, he's getting into my turf now.
I'm sorry.
You're kidding. That was my thing. I'm just joking. In first service, I shared this prophetic word about us going to McMoran, I saw us becoming a thermostat in the middle of Port Huron. And the difference between bottled water and a thermostat is a thermostat decides what the temperature is, right? And bottled water, whatever you put it in, it will become, right? And as a Christian, you're not meant to be bottled water. You're meant to be a thermostat, to step into an environment. And what do thermostats do? Thermostats analyze the environment, and it decides, does it need to be more hot or does it need to be more cold? And then it does that thing. And so often, in your own home, how many of you guys, like, walk around into your house, you're like, that's a nice thermostat right there. Woo! That one's from the 1980s. And when I tweak it like this, I go up about 5 degrees more than I wanted to. And when I go down this way, it's about 10 degrees more than I wanted to. But it works great, you know. Like, you don't think about your thermostat until it stops working. Right? As soon as it stops working, you're like, we need a new thermostat. Because the environment is not what we want it to be, right? And I believe right now in the Blue Water area is crying out for a new thermostat. I believe that they're saying, we need a new thermostat. We need something to analyze the environment and something to judge in the kingdom, in the spiritual realm. Judge and analyze. Does it need to be more hot or does it need to be more cold, right? And I'm not, obviously, in the kingdom, we're like, yeah, fire, you know, more heat, you know what I mean? But I believe that, like, kind of in the sense that I believe that our people, you guys, all of us, are going to actually analyze in the kingdom and expand the kingdom and travel in the kingdom by seeing businesses through kingdom mindsets and wisdom and being able to offer wisdom to businesses and how they can expand their businesses for the kingdom of God. And I believe in the spiritual realm that we're going to be able to help people the way that the kingdom would. But we're only going to be able to do that if we're thermostats, not bottled water. And I think the world is really, really tired of Christians who don't know how to be thermostats, that are just influenced, because they look to us and they say, what's different about you? You know, they look at you and they're like, why is your life better than mine? And when you're the same temperature as they are, is that better? I saw a funny joke on Facebook the other day about the salt of the earth. It's like Jesus was like, I told you to be the salt of the earth. Why are you being so salty to everybody else? All the millennials are like, oh, that was a good one. It only makes sense if you're a millennial, sorry. Shout out to the millennials. Okay, tag, you're
right. You know, I was reading one of my sermons yesterday, from a couple of years ago, because Kim and I were looking for something, and I read the whole thing because it was a really good sermon. Like
the best.
Yeah, I was patting myself on the back real hard. It was really good. And as I was reading that, something you just said kind of, you know, jumped out at me. In that, I said, there's something wrong when our lives look just like the lives of people of the world. There's something wrong when people can look at us and not tell a difference between us and worldly people. And I thought, man, that's so powerful. I mean, it's so simple, but it's so powerful. If we walk into an atmosphere and nothing changes, then what are we doing? Are we really fulfilling the mission that God has given us? Are we really fulfilling the calling and the anointing on our lives? Something should change. If the atmosphere is not right, something should change. If it's not a godly atmosphere, if it's not what he desires, if it's not the temperature he wants in that place, something should change when you walk in. If nothing changes when you walk in, then what's going on? I mean, that's the question we need to ask ourselves. If we walk into an atmosphere and nothing changes when it should change, then we need to take a good look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. Say, Father, am I really carrying your presence into this place? Can I just get on this one more?
Get on it. I'm going to
get on it one more time. I got to walk when I talk. Because listen, I've been there. I was there for far too long. I lived my life this way for far too long. Through how many of you work, you know, most of you do. I know there's a few people here that I've sat, but how many of you work outside of a church? You work like in a secular job. Raise your hand if you have a secular job. You work out in the world somewhere. Okay, almost all of you, right? Everybody. Unless you work at home. I did that for years. You know, 20 years before I became a full-time minister. And for 20 years before I became a full-time minister, I would go to church, get all fired up, right? My temperature would rise. And then I'd go out to the workplace, and I'd walk into the workplace, and that atmosphere around me would bring my temperature down to its temperature. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because I did it for years. And then I thought, well, I'm a minister now. I'm full-time on staff. And so now I'm going to be on fire all the time. Boy, that temperature. But see, here's what I found out. I found out that it's up to you to carry the presence and make the change. You can't just hope that God just miraculously, well, he won't do this, just takes over your body and throws your will aside and makes you conform and do what he wants you to do. That's not how he works. That's why we've been given a free will. We get to choose to allow him to work in us and through us. So I found out after I became a minister, go to church and I'd be in the office and, you know, and all that, and that was great, you know. But I found out even in the church office, people squabble. I found out in the church office, there are people who don't like each other. I found out in the church office, working Monday through Friday in a church office, there are people, employees in the church office, that will complain about their boss. Y'all better not be doing that about me. Y'all better not. Y'all, that's some of that Southern coming out. And so all of a sudden, I got this reality check. That just because I was a full-time minister working in the church office, that didn't give me some sort of supernatural power that I could just carry the atmosphere out there without having to try. I had to actually desire it, step into it, and purposefully do it. So you can't just come to church on Sunday and get all fired up and then expect that to last you throughout the week. You need to carry his presence with you everywhere you go. And that means you need to be purposeful about this. When you walk into an atmosphere that is not the temperature that God wants it to be, then you determine what the temperature is. You say, Father, what do you want me to do here? And you shift the atmosphere. You become that thermostat that he's talking about, and you analyze the atmosphere and go, man, it's too frigid and cold in here. They need some heat. So, Father, come in right now. Come in and do what you desire to do. You can do it in your workplace. Man, when the employees are just complaining about the boss, are you the boss? You're not the boss. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about, right? If you're the boss, you don't even know. They're complaining about you. You don't even know it. You hear about it. So when the employees are complaining about the boss or about the environment around there, what are they complaining about? They're complaining about the atmosphere, right? The circumstances. I don't like the way things are going here. He's mean. Man, he's just vicious. He just doesn't treat us good. Or she. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm picking on the he's. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? You can change the atmosphere. You can shift the environment. And it all starts with you carrying and ushering in the presence of God. You go into the workplace, and when that starts to happen, Father, have your way. Father, let your spirit reign in this place. Father, do what you desire to do. I know some of you are thinking, okay, because I get real simple. I like to get simple because I need simple. You know what I mean? So let me give you simple. Because some of you are thinking, oh, I mean, like out loud, you say, Father, you can change the atmosphere because their attitudes suck in this place. I wouldn't advise that. I wouldn't do it that way. But listen, you don't have to be loud. You can just be quiet. If you need to go to the bathroom and ask Father God, if you need to just put your hand over your mouth, I do advise that you say it out loud. You can pray in your head, but it's more powerful when the words are coming out of your mouth, because you want the enemy to hear those words too. He can't hear your thoughts, but he can hear your words. So speak it out loud. Father, shift the atmosphere in this place. Do what you desire to do. Father, have your way. You don't even have to close your eyes. Look, you don't even know I'm praying right now. I do this in the grocery store all the time. I'm on aisle 3 between the crackers and the cookies. Or the fruits and the nuts. Father, you can shift the atmosphere in this place right now. Father, I know there's somebody that needs your healing here. Father, direct me to them. Let me be the thermostat in this place. Let your anointing flow through me. Let your purging flow through me. You get what I'm saying? And guys, this is what we're going to have to be. I mean, this Ethan, man, you nailed it. I just totally hijacked your sermon in the second service here.
I like it.
But you fired me up. You nailed it when you said, we're going to the center of the city next week. Center of the city. So what are we going to do? Who are we going to be? Who are we? Who is this body, the River Church? Who are we? I'll tell you who we're not. We're not that church that's going to have a week-long service of revival and then go right back to where we were. But listen, we haven't done that. 5.5 years that we've been going, I don't see it coming down. You hear what I'm saying? Somebody asked me the other day, they said, I don't understand. How can you guys every week, how can the anointing and the presence of God be so strong in your services every week? How come every week this is happening like an outpouring? I don't understand this. This is a pastor asking me. It's like, how is that happening? And I didn't have an answer. I was like, I don't know. How is it not happening in your church? I mean, if you can tell me how it's not happening, maybe I can tell. All I know is that we just invite God to do what he wants to do. I think this is what he wants to do all the time. But not just here on Sundays. He wants to do this tomorrow morning with us in the workplace. And out there in the city, in the Blue Water area, he wants to do this in us and through us out there. Do you feel it? You feel it right now, right? Don't you want to take this with you? You got something else to say?
Yeah.
Jump in.
I said that like I've been waiting. Oftentimes, I feel like when we get into this subject, everybody just... stay with me on this, okay? Because sometimes it's easy to go somewhere else. Sometimes when we talk about stuff like this, shifting atmospheres, changing the environment, changing the way you think, we often let our own desires take us off the tracks, in the sense that, like, we think, this is too hard to change my lifestyle. It's too hard to change my mindset. It's too hard to change the way I think. And it's actually, it's really not. I promise you it's not. I've done, like, this is, you're looking at somebody who dealt with so much self, like, hatred and insecurity. And it was just like that. As soon as I just said, God, I submit my mind to you. Do you know that it says that you'll have the mind of Christ, that he's renewing your mind? That means you're thinking thoughts you've never thought before. That means you're thinking like him. You're thinking like the Father. And actually, the word desire, the desires of your heart, you know that verse? Every single one of you in this room has a desire. And a lot of times we let those desires stop us from becoming the thermostat. Because we think, well, this is what I want to do with my life, and this is what I've set out to do, and I'm going to do it. And you kind of lose sight of, like, hey, God actually has desires for you. And, like, my life was going this direction, and when I said, God, I'm going to let your desires determine where I go, now I'm going this way. And I tell you what, like, 10 years ago, if I would have kept going this way, I would not even be close. Like, I would... just the quality of just my, like, I don't know the word, the ability to just be like, I love now. I love being with God now. I'm not waiting to get to my dream and then I'll love God. I love him now. But the word desire means, I believe it's in the Latin, de means of, and then sire means the father. So desire, like, it literally means your heart's desires come from the Father, if they're Christ-like desires. But he's giving you desires, he's giving you dreams, he's giving you purpose. But don't let your own dreams, your own ideas of what you want to do, your own convenience stop you from becoming that thermostat. Because I promise you, if you determine the temperature of the room for the kingdom, you will walk in the purpose of God, and you will really, really like it. Because if I took you outside right now, and I took off, like, your shirt, and you were out there without a coat, and you're just standing out there, you'd be like, I hate this. But Jesus comes to clothe you in righteousness. That means no matter what season, no matter what place you go, no matter what happens to you, you're covered in his righteousness. You're covered in his right standing. So as you walk through every single season, it doesn't matter what's coming your way, because the thermostat lives on you. But guess what? You'll lose the thermostat if you let your own desires say, no, I'm going this way. Like, he didn't leave you, you threw him away. And every single one of you have a dream and a purpose, and you want to get it. I want you to go there. I want you to get there. But you don't chase the dreams God has for you. You chase God who has dreams for you. Yes. So, I feel like, if this is a word of knowledge, I feel like it's got to be. I feel like there's people in this room right now, and you're like, I don't want to change my lifestyle. And I don't mean like you're living this crazy bad lifestyle. I just mean, like, I don't want to change the way I talk. I don't want to change the way I act. I don't want to change my temper. I don't want to change who I am right now. And I think Holy Spirit very tenderly right now today is saying, what if you gave that to me? What if you let me give you new desires? Do you know what I like, how I repent when through my whole life I struggled with, like, lust, okay? If I have, like, a lustful thought come to my mind, I say, God, give me a new desire. I'm just being real with you right now. Give me a new desire. I don't want that. I want a new desire. Jesus, I want intimacy with you. I want to feel one with you. I don't need lust to tell me that I'm worth something. I need you to tell me that I'm worth something. Come on, change your desires. Let him take it from you. Just give it to him. Surrender it to him. And he'll take the very desires you thought you wanted, and he'll give you something new. And that way you can be in your job, in your workplace, you can be doing full-time ministry without a microphone, without needing a pat on the back, without just loving the world the way that the world needs to be loved, without waiting to finally get there. Because I think every single one of you want to love the world, right? Like, I think every single one of you wants to change the world in a groundbreaking way, whether that be business, spirituality, whatever it looks like. I don't think there's a person in this room that doesn't want to make a monumental change in history. And the only way you're going to get to that is if you say, Holy Spirit, cocoon me, cover me, and take me to where I need to go. Change my desires. Change the way I talk. Change the way I think. Come on. Yeah.
You're like, everything you're saying, I heard the Lord say this to me, so I'm going to give you this an example. Because the only way we're going to be world changers and we're going to do what Ethan's talking about here and be the thermostat is that we have to step into it. You have to step into it. I believe there are several people in this place right now, maybe watching us on live stream, that you just feel like, man, I don't know how to do this. In fact, if you're here right now, you just think, man, I'm having trouble doing this. I don't know how to step out there and change the atmosphere. If that's you, just raise your hand. It's okay. Come on. It's okay. Yeah. Just be honest. I mean, I don't know how to. I want to change the atmosphere and the environment in my workplace or where I'm at, in my home. How many of you need some environment of atmosphere changes in your home? Come on. I want to do it, but I just don't know how. First, I got to tell you this.
God's given you the power and the ability and the anointing to do it. You don't, because I believe there's some people, if you're like me and the way I've been over the years, if you're like me, you're like, if I could just take Ethan with me, if Ethan could just go with me everywhere, like, come on, Ethan, you just go with me everywhere I go. You're going to the workplace, and, man, the atmosphere needs changing. Ethan, get him. Right? But listen, that would be like a pocket Ethan.
That's a junior version of Holy Spirit.
That's like, yeah, exactly.
You know,
come on.
That's the mindset that, like, you get upgrades. There's no such thing as I have an upgraded version of Holy Spirit because I've known him longer.
Come on.
You know?
Come on. That's no perfect.
You have Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you have Holy Spirit. You don't need to pull an Ethan out of your pocket and go, you know, pull the cord and he blows up and there goes Ethan.
There's a snake in my boot.
Yeah.
That was a Toy Story joke.
Yes. Thank you, Ethan.
Sorry. I'm done. I'm turning my mic off.
You have that ability right here. And so that's why so often I, in this place, and I'll keep doing this as long as Holy Spirit leads me, so often I say, you need to give a word of prophecy to the person next to you. You need to give an encouraging word to somebody next to you, because if you cannot do it here, there's no way you can do it out there. Right? It's a safe place, right? We're all just being real with each other, right? How many here are being fake? Anybody being fake here? Anybody? If you were, you wouldn't admit it, right? It's like, I'm being fake. I'm not going to tell you. Yep, I'm fake one right here. I'm fake. Everybody. I'm saying this is a safe place. Right? You feel comfortable right now, don't you? Some of you are hungry and you're ready to go and you're like, I wish he'd shut up, but that's okay. Be real. Be real. I'm about to shut up in a minute, but we got to hear this. We need this. I need this. Because I want to go deeper into this. You know what I'm saying? I want to change the atmosphere more. When I walk into environments, I don't change as much as I need to. I'm going to be the first one to say it. I don't change as much as I need to. So you wouldn't want to take a pocket bill with you, because I wouldn't, you know what? I might mess it up for you, but I want more. I want to do more. I want to walk into I talk about grocery stores a lot because I do all the grocery shopping in our house. I want to walk into the grocery store, and I want to see you there because I see every time. I haven't gone to the grocery store in 6 months and not seen one of our people from the river there. That's pretty cool. That's fun. But I also want to walk into the grocery store and I want to take the temperature of the room and say, Lord, now what do you want to bring that temperature to? And I seriously want to be walking down the aisles of the grocery store and have the Lord being so in touch, so in tune with the temperature that the Lord speaks to me and says, there's this brother over here. He needs me right now. Would you go up to him and just talk to him? Tell him how much I love him. Pray with him for a moment. And I do that sometimes, but I don't do it as often as I should. Because there are times that I walk through the grocery stores and I'm not taking the temperature of the atmosphere. I'm just going about my business and I'm focused on what I need to get done. And I don't feel condemnation. I just feel conviction of Holy Spirit. I believe that we could walk in this type of atmosphere all the time, don't you? 100% of the time.
Peter was walking around, just walking around, and people in his shadow would just get healed.
So powerful.
Because he had the temperature. And he wasn't, like, I truly do believe he wasn't walking like, okay, Holy Spirit, please heal these people while I walk by. I really think he was just like, I already know the temperature. Like, I just know. And I think that's what our relationship with God is about. Is it's not about like, oh, I need music to be with you. It's just Holy Spirit. I want to be with you today. What do you want to do? And just starting the day that way, you know, because that's what communion is. That's what relationship is. That's what Lydia and I do every single morning. Is what are we doing today? What are you doing today? What do you want to do tonight? You know what I mean? That's what relationship looks like. And Bobby Connor says this. He says, God hates multitasking. And I think, like, we owe it to God to start limiting our distractions. Like, saying, you know what? I'm not saying phones are bad, but saying, you know what? My phone takes way too much of my attention. I'm going to put that thing away. Or video games take too much of my attention. TV takes too much of my attention. Internet takes too much. Social media takes too much of my attention away from God. Even good things.
Yeah.
Exercise takes too much of my attention away from God. Like, whatever, I don't know. I'm just, exercise is a good thing. But Twinkies are taking too much of my attention of God. That could be true for some. I don't know. I just think, I think that it's about time we stop trying to be a multitasking church, where we're always trying to think, like, we're always doing multiple things and thinking that I can be on Facebook and constantly be, like, I'm having time with the Lord right now, but I'm also tweeting every single second of it.
Come on.
Or like, oh, I had this vision, I'm going to share it with the world.
Come on.
Do you know that God actually shares some things with you for secrets?
Come on.
Woo! He actually shares things with you because he doesn't want other people to know them, because it's you and him. It is a whole nother sermon. But like, I think too often we see, I'm just going to go there, I have to finish this. On Facebook, I see all the time where people's like, I had this dream, I had this vision, and they share it with the whole world, and I read it, and I'm like, that feels like a really intimate you and Daddy God moment. And it's not that I'm like judging it or anything, I'm like, yay, that's awesome, but at the same time, I'm like, how much more awesome would it be if you didn't need somebody to be like, oh man, that's so awesome, yay you. Like, why do we need like man's opinion icing on the cake when God speaks truth and it's like we need men to confirm it? When he speaks it, it's already confirmed, you know?